no mistake. Of all leading cigarettes, one and only one is recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists as definitely less irritating. That one cigarette is Philip Morris. Johnny presents the Milton Berle Show. Oh, here comes Johnny, ladies and gentlemen, to remind you, if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris. Yes, they'd all.
Oh, Philip Morris!
From Radio City in New York, here is the Milton Berle Show, with Bert Kelton, Jack Albertson, Charles Irving, Mary Shipp, Billy Sands, Al Kelly, our singing star, Dick Corney, the music of Ray Block and his orchestra, and yours truly, Frank Gallen. Ladies and gentlemen.
They know what they are.
Tonight, we salute the opening of the New York theater season.
That's true.
Our star, Milton Berle, has been in many an opening night.
That's right.
Most of his plays didn't last much longer.
Big joke.
And here he is, Milton Berle.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Gallup, you bring up a delicate subject when you speak of my career in the theater. Oh, what excitement, what glamour, what flops. You think I'm kidding? I've been in so many turkeys, they call me Stuffy. I'm not kidding. In my last play, the backers were paid off in cranberries. The backers were paid off. We got off to a flying low. I've been in a lot of shows, really.
I know. Well, Berle, I do hope this doesn't mean we're in for an evening of your nauseating nostalgia.
Oh, yes, it does. Will you... You're very nice tonight. You're easy on me.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But the reason I started it that way is I just wanted to mention one show I was in, a little show called Spring in Brazil. Were you the three that saw it? No, it was a nice show. It was one of those gay musicals. The people left the theater humming. They were humming the music from Oklahoma. The show wasn't bad. Just one thing wrong. The seats faced the stage. The seats faced the stage. I think they should be facing tonight, the stage. But I had the audience in that show. I had them in the palm of my hand. That'll give you an idea of how many people were in the audience. One night, we sent the whole audience home in a cab. And what a blow. What a blow to my reputation, Mr. Gallup, when that show closed. I felt so bad. I really do. The producer wouldn't talk to me. My friends snubbed me. I didn't mind that, but when I came home one night and found my mother erasing her name from my birth certificate, that was too much. But why talk about my failures in the theater? Let us talk about my successes, huh?
Well, that should take no time at all.
Gallup. No, you jest. You jest. You're clowning. Because I was the star of the last Ziegfeld Follies.
That explains why it was the last one.
Mr. Gallup, look at me.
Yes?
I got news for you.
Yes?
Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you set?
Yes.
Is your throttle open?
Yes.
I was a sensational hit in the Ziegfeld Follies. Did you hear about it?
I saw you in it.
Well?
Look at me, Berle.
Yes?
I have tidings for you.
Yes?
Are you prepared?
Yes.
Are you in a receptive mood?
Yes.
Is the volume up on your hearing device?
Yes.
In the last Ziegfeld Follies, you were a big
Follies?
Nothing. Did you hear about
Follies?
Now, nobody would have known.
In the Follies? The Follies, hey? You will be back on Prudential next week.
Can I get insurance on that?
Can you get insurance on that?
Yeah.
Living, that's a bad policy. Mr. Gallup, now please, Mr. Gallup, when you said that I was a big nothing in the Ziegfeld Follies, you hurt me deeply. I mean it painfully and brutally. I was a nothing in the Ziegfeld Follies, Mr. Gallup. May I say, and want to get serious, you have plunged a dagger into a most sensitive spot.
Next time I'll aim higher.
That's right. Go ahead and laugh. Laugh at Berle.
Why should I? Nobody else does.
Mr. Gallup. That's very undemocratic and un-American. He's got that Ziegfeld Follies yet. hitting me, a man, when he's down. Today, the world needs kindness and good fellowship. I can only recommend...
You rendered it.
Looks like we'll wind up together. We all will, too. I can only recommend, Mr. Gallup, that you visit the Freedom Train.
The Freedom Train?
Yes. The next time it pulls into town, throw yourself in front of it. But enough of this side-splitting, rib-tickling nothing. Let us get on. You know, this is Meatless Tuesday. It's sure showing up in the script, too. So let us get on with our salute to the Broadway Theater. Broadway, the Great White Way. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to salute the forgotten men of the theater. Yes, the world knows names like Catherine Cornell, Tallulah Bankhead, Maurice Evans, Maxie Rosenblum, B.S. Pulley. But who knows the backers of the theater, the men who put up the money? Who ever heard of names like J.P. Morgan, Rockefeller, DuPont? Nobody. Why, you could pass them in the automat and never recognize them. It is to such a man that I wish to pay tribute tonight. The financial backer who gave me my start in the theater and whose confidence in me never wavered. I remember the first time I went up to his office. I was a young actor with my first play, and timidly, I opened the door.
Merle, come right in.
Yes, sir. About the play.
I read it. I like it. I like you. I like the whole thing. I like your attitude. I like it.
Gee, that...
I'm putting a fortune into this play. Why? I like it. I like you. I'll make you the biggest star on Broadway, or my name isn't Simon Ackerman.
Well, gosh, Mr. Ackerman.
I like you.
Well, the next time I saw him was about a year later. Nervously, I entered his office.
Earl?
I'm awfully sorry, sir, about the play.
So it was a flop. So I lost some money. But I like show business. I like you. Kill me. I like you. What's that under your arm?
That's another play.
I like it. I don't have to see it. I like it. I like the whole idea. I like the idea of putting money into it. And you know why, Burl?
Why?
Because I like you.
Well, gosh, I don't know what to say.
Say you like me.
Well, I like you.
I like you, too.
I like you. I like you. Yes, Mr. Ackerman liked me. And as quick as he put money into my shows, they flopped. Finally, he put his entire fortune into building a theater for me, the Milton Berle Theater. I remember the day it was completed. He stood there, and I'll never forget the way he turned to me and he said,
I like it.
Play after play closed. Today, the lights are out in the Milton Berle Theater, but Mr. Ackerman is still in the theater. This former Wall Street tycoon... to this day, stands in the doorway of that very theater, and you can hear him say...
Now, French, I have here a little potato peeler that not only feels great, but really...
Yes. But there were no hard feelings, because I bought a potato peeler, and he liked me again. But that's show business, and you know my theme song, There's No Business Like Show Business... Well, I picked it because it brings back fond memories of my early vaudeville days with that one and only girl. That's why I sing. There's no business like show business, like no business I know. Hey, 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 hey! Ah, show business. Cynthia. Golden memories of Cynthia. Golden memories of old vaudeville days with Cynthia. I remember the first time I saw you, Cynthia. You were doing an act with a trained seal. How clever that seal was. He'd throw the ball up at you and you'd balance it on your nose. How proud you looked sitting on the stage with your head held high. You had to hold your head high, otherwise you'd miss the fish. Talented Cynthia. What a contortionist you were, Cynthia. You'd twist yourself until your legs were around your neck and your arms were under your knees and your head was under your elbow. Somehow, Cynthia, you looked better that way. But it was your beauty, Cynthia. Beauty that haunted me. I remember your coal black hair that you wore in a snood. I used to help you shovel it in. Ah, Cynthia, you weren't pretty. You weren't ugly. You were more ugly than pretty. You were pretty ugly. Ah, but it was the little things I remember about you, Cynthia. The little things. The cute little way that you'd wrinkle up your nose every time someone opened a can of kennel ration. Your surprised little laugh in the middle of your bicycle act whenever you discovered that they forgot to put on the seat. Boing! Your tinkling. Your tinkling little laugh the time that you let that magician saw you in half and then found out he was a carpenter. So until they put you together again, I'll go on singing. So let's go on with the show. Yes, let's go on with the show.
Chicago, New Orleans, Minneapolis, San Francisco, Philadelphia. From all over the country, there's news, big news. Listen. From section after section, eminent nose and throat specialists report that the cigarette they suggest in cases of irritation due to smoking is Philip Morris.
Yes, these top-ranking nose and throat specialists actually suggest Philip Morris because they know Philip Morris is the one, the only leading cigarette proved definitely less irritating.
Remember, the cigarette that gives you the least irritation is the cigarette that gives you the most enjoyment. After all, it's pleasure, deep, rich pleasure that counts in smoking. And the full measure of smoking pleasure is yours to enjoy day in, day out in Philip Morris. That's why we say, if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette.
Fine and Dandy, played by Ray Blackburn and the Philip. Thank you for letting me direct the orchestra, please. Thank you. Ray, may I say that you are a musician right down to your fingertips. If only the rest of you had a little talent. I'm only kidding, Ray. I think you're a great musician, and to me, you sound like one of the old masters. One of the old mix masters. And now... Well, I thought I would stir up a little few laughs. As we continue our salute to the theater, we present...
Theater Forum tonight. The question, will Milton Berle's vaudeville act ever take the place of the flea circus?
Yes, sir, Zygfo Farris. But now, let's get on to the questions from the floor. All right, let's start with this tall gentleman in the second row honing a razor in the man in front of him. Yes, sir?
Mr. Berle, yes. I personally want to thank you for this tribute to the theater.
You're in show business?
All my life. I was born in a trunk.
Born in a trunk? Your father was an actor?
No, he was an elephant.
Thank you, and say hello to Sabu. Let us go on. All right, this young man here dabbing the perfume on his earlobes. Young man, what is your name?
My name is Cynthia.
Cynthia?
I'm not the Cynthia you always sing those love songs to.
I know.
After all, what could you see in me?
Nothing.
I hate the name Cynthia.
Yeah?
People don't call me that once they see that look in my eye.
When they see that look in their eye, in your eye, what do they call you?
Cockeye.
All right, C.E. You have a question about the theater?
Yeah. Why can't I get a break as a comedian on Broadway?
Well,
I got looks, I got talent, I got jokes, so why? Tell me why.
Well, I'm afraid
that... Why should it hurt you if there's another comedian?
But I didn't...
Oh, sure, you already made your load, so what do you care about me?
Look, I don't...
Broadway needs me because I got a pile of jokes you ain't even stolen yet.
Now, wait
Broadway
a minute.
Needs me because you're not getting any younger, you
All
know?
All right, but
Broadway
I'm...
needs me because they haven't had a laugh since you said you were going at the radio.
Please.
I dropped that already.
Now, please, let us try to control ourselves. Young man, if you have a question, let's have it.
Okay. Do you think I should lower my hem?
Please, let us go on to the women in our audience. This lady in the aisle here cleaning buckshot out of a duck. Your name, please?
Tallulah Feeney. I'm a homemaker.
I see. And you have a question concerning the theater?
Yeah, how can I keep my husband out of burlesque theaters? He got calluses on his chin from resting it on runways.
Your husband is a burlesque fan?
Are you kidding? At night he won't even take off his tie unless I applaud.
No fooling.
When they closed up Minsky's, he was the last one to leave.
I see. He liked watching the girls at Minsky's?
Liked it. He even got a kick out of watching Minsky take off his hat.
He gets enthusiastic?
Nah, when he wants a girl to come back on the stage, he don't applaud like the others. He uses his head.
He uses his head?
Yeah, he bangs it on the floor.
That's terrible.
He's got over 100 pictures of Gypsy Rose Lee. It's amazing.
What's amazing about having over 100 pictures of Gypsy Rose Lee?
Tattooed on his body.
Oh, that's different.
When he takes off his clothes, he looks like the front page of the Police Gazette.
Mrs. Feeney, how do you stand for all this? Don't you mind your husband going to burlesque shows?
Nah, he just goes to burlesque shows because he likes the candy they sell there.
Oh, now, Mrs. Feeney, are you sure he doesn't go there to enjoy the girls?
Listen, he's so stupid, he's lucky if he can enjoy candy.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Feeney. Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, as a fitting climax to our theatrical forum, we are very honored this evening by the presence of that great Shakespearean actor and dramatic coach, Otis Finster. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Finster.
Thank you. I am very deeply thrilled at your fine story for my taking sale.
Thank you very much. Mr. Finster, here are some questions that have been sent in for you to answer. From Scranton, Pennsylvania, a young drama student writes, what are some exercises for developing a good speaking voice?
I can only recommend what I myself do.
Yeah?
Every morning I arise, walk over to the flail, and try to find which is my comet for Tisbet. I don't know whether that was going to watch my bait because I have a fee, but there's only a clamor, and there's a deposit back on the bottle. Next question?
Well, a man from Pasadena writes, what's the first step toward having a play produced?
What a coincidence.
Why?
Only this week, a man came to me with a play and said, Mr. Finster, I would like to stake a back a throw with Tillman. Yeah. He would like to stake a back a throw with Tillman. Who wouldn't? I told him to braid the entire thing on a sword because whatever is left with Spain makes mine feel with force. And would you believe it? Today, that man can eat anything.
Mr. Finster, in summing up, what advice would you give a young, hopeful actor?
Young actors,
yeah.
Go out in the world and spray your theme for Salmon Bay. Don't be a chimera. Don't let people point to you on the street and say, look, there goes a Schleimer bride. Be a Spain. Be a Thurman. But above all, be a Flump. In conclusion, I can only repeat the words of that great Thurman phrase, Sir Oscar Thibblebam, who said, quote, the world of the phrase leaves you kind with slime, unquote.
Thank you very much, Mr. Finster. Thank you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's our young singing star, Dick Bonney, to sing You Do.
Who knows how much I love you? You do. No one means more to me than you do. You take December and smile into me. Back again when you're away. Who has a charm that very few? Who makes life necessary? You do. And who can take my dreams and make my dreams come true? Don't give me three guesses, what will do? And who can take my dreams and make my dreams come true? don't give me three guesses. One will do.
You know, Mr. Gallup, I am not without singing talent myself.
Did you know that?
No, you didn't know. I auditioned for the Theater Guild. They wanted me in Oklahoma. Then they decided it wasn't far enough away. Oh, what a theater season this is going to be, Mr. Gallup.
Huh? Yes, indeed. And by the way,
what?
How did you like the new Rodgers and Hammerstein musical, Allegro? Did you go opening night?
Oh, brother, what happened to me? Oscar Hammerstein and Dick Rogers reserved two tickets for me, and that night my wife and I went down to the Majestic Theater. What a brilliant opening night crowd.
Have your tickets ready, please. Tickets, please.
Boy, darling, what an opening. All the critics and big stars are here.
Milton, let's go in and take our seats.
Oh, we have a few minutes, darling. I just want to say hello to some of my friends in the lobby. Oh, there's Fred Allen. Hiya, Fred. Hi, Fred Allen. Hi, boy. Hi, Fred. Freddy. Remember me? I guess you didn't see me. Oh, look, there's Walter Winchell. Hi, Walter. Hi, Winchell. Hey, Winchell. Hey, Walter. Hey, Walt. Hey, Wal. I guess he didn't recognize me or something.
Funny how everybody's so glad to see you. Let's go in.
Okay, I'll pick up the tickets at the box office here. They were left in my name. Pardon me, mister. You've got two tickets there in my name, Burl, Milton Burl.
Get in line. This man is in front of you.
Yeah.
Well, that's all right. Just hand me the two tickets.
Get away from the window.
Now, what was it, sir?
I want two tickets. They shouldn't be too high up.
Please, will you hurry up?
What night?
Leave me see. Monday's no good. I gotta listen to Nelsonetti on the telephone hour.
Come on.
Tuesday night, I got my air raid warden meeting.
Oh, please.
Titan going up. Titan going up.
Look, the play is starting. Will you give me the tickets?
Get away from the window.
Oh, please.
Now, how about Wednesday night, mister?
Yeah, well, Wednesday night, mister. That's a great night.
Wednesday?
Yeah, Wednesday.
Good. Give me two for Wednesday.
Yeah, give them two for Wednesday.
We're sold out.
Yeah. Look, they're closing the doors. Will you give me the tickets?
What's the matter? Can't you see this man is in front of you?
Yeah.
Milton, where's the tickets? The play is starting.
Ziegfeld Farris? Is that it? No. Yes, the play is starting. What can I do? Look who's in front of me, a jerk.
Yeah.
Okay, mister. Have you made up your mind?
Yeah, please. Will you make up your mind?
Leave me see. Oh. How about Friday night?
Yeah. How about Friday night?
Oh, good. I can give you two tickets for Friday night.
He can give you two tickets for Friday night.
I can't go.
Yeah. Now, please. Mister, will you give me the ticket?
Get away from the window.
Get away, please. The show is on.
10-minute intermission. Smoking in the lobby only.
How do you like that? The first act is over. Give me the ticket.
Get away from the window.
Well, mister?
Got anything for New Year's Eve?
Will you give him something for New Year's Eve? Give him a Mickey, will you, please?
Well, I've got two nice seats for Saturday matinee, July 16th.
Take them.
Nah, that's the day I promised to take my little boy to the beach.
That's nice. While you're there, drown yourself, please. Look, mister, let's face it. You really don't want to see Allegro.
Allegro?
Yeah.
Ain't this the line for Annie Get Your Gun?
Yeah.
Annie Get Your Gun. You're in the wrong theater.
Then what are you wasting my time for?
All right, mister, will you hurry up, please, the tickets?
Are you here for tickets, sir?
Yes, I just... No, not tickets. I just dropped in for a haircut. That's all. Take a little off the top, will you? Look, I have two tickets here in my name for tonight.
What's your name?
Burl, Milton Burl, will you? Hurry up, please.
Let me look now.
Yes, let's see.
Reservations. Benson, Billingsley, Begley, Pipkin. I have two tickets for Pipkin.
That's nice. Hammerstein.
Yeah. Hammerstein. I'll see. Benson, Billingsley, Begley, Burl, Pipkin.
Oh, wait.
You said you weren't Pipkin.
I'm not. My name is Burl.
You just said it was Hammerstein.
Now, wait a minute.
Get away.
Second act, Titan going up.
Second act, please.
What was the name, please?
Pipkin.
Let me look. Benson, Billingsley, Begley. Sorry, Mr.
Oh, don't
the
stop.
The only thing I have for tonight are two under the name of Burl.
But they... Well, wait a minute. Burl, that's me.
Oh, you're Burl.
Yeah.
Well, who did you leave the tickets for, Mr. Burl?
Yeah. The Hammerstein. No, Pipkin left. Look, my name is Burl. The tickets were left in the box office.
Last act, curtain going up, curtain going up.
Last act, give me the tickets. Just give me one ticket. My wife went to a newsreel.
I looked all over, Mr. Rogers. I can't find any tickets for Hammerstein.
Now, look, Mr. Burl. All I want...
Box office.
Give me the tickets.
You don't want the tickets, Mr. Pipkin? Okay, I'll try and get rid of them.
I'll take them. Give me his tickets.
What tickets?
The tickets you want to get rid of.
But, Mr. Pipkin, you just said you didn't want them.
Again with the Pipkin. Look, for 2 hours I've been telling you the tickets are for Burl.
There are no tickets for Burl. Here, look for yourself.
All right, I'll look. Let's see. Benson, Billingsley, Begley, Burl, Dalton, Dugan. You're right.
What did I tell you?
And they promised they'd leave him under the name of Pipkin. Play is over. People are coming out.
Keep moving. Don't block the lobby.
Give me the tickets.
Go home, Mr. Pipkin. The play is over.
Give me the tickets.
Go home and sleep it off.
Give me the tickets.
What's going on here, Charlie?
Give me the tickets.
Mr. Hammerstein, this drunk's been hanging around all night.
Give me the tickets.
You mean it? Burl!
Give me the tickets.
I'm shocked at your revolting behavior.
Give me the tickets.
Drunk on an opening night. You're a disgrace to the name of Burl.
The name is Pipkin.
I'm disgusted. Wait till I tell Rogers.
The name is Hammerstein.
Don't ever again come to Hammerstein for a favor.
The name is Rogers.
I've never witnessed a more scandalous display.
Give me the box office.
Just for that, I'm tearing up the two tickets I left in your name for tomorrow night.
Give me the... Wait, let me understand. They were for tomorrow night?
Yes.
Give me the tickets! Thank you. I'll be back in just a minute, ladies and gentlemen. In the meantime, here is Mr. Pipkin with a few words.
Remember this. You're twice as sure of twice the pleasure when you smoke Philip Morris. And here's why.
First, you enjoy the pleasure of smoking the world's finest premium tobaccos, mellow and mild and superbly blended. And second, you enjoy the extra pleasure of smoking the one, the only leading cigarette recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists as definitely less irritating.
Yes, you're twice as sure of twice the pleasure when you smoke Philip Morris. So next time you call for cigarettes, call for Philip Morris, made in America by Americans to please American taste.
This is Johnny again, returning now to the thousands of store windows and counters all over America. Look for me. I'll be waiting for you. Come in and call for Philip Morris!
Yes, if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette. And now, goodbye, Johnny. See you next Tuesday, same time, same station, when Philip Morris will again present the Milton Berle Show. Until then...
Call for Philip Morris!
Good night, folks. Hello, testing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That's it, 5. Pipe smokers, try Revelation Pipe Tobacco, a smooth blend of 5 tobaccos. Yes, relax, take 5, take Revelation, a fine pipe tobacco.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.